Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's season three. You know, we never thought we'd make it this far, but we are at season three of the Remso Republic. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend and everything else. Got to see some fireworks, drink a cold one, go out and barbecue with family, shoot some guns, blow some things up. This is what we love. We love the summer because this is around the same time that we launched season one just a year ago. And when you look at what we've done in just 1 year, it's been a lot of hard work. It's been a lot of money, blood, sweat, tears. It's been an absolutely remarkable journey. But the only reason why we are doing this is because you guys love the content. You are supporting our guests and our sponsors, but you're helping Team Republic grow. And you know, show producer Ryan Martinez and I were just looking at things, and you know, the numbers, even in the off season. I mean, we only played like one episode in May, and it was the season finale, and we aired some reruns of some shows that I was on during the past year, and we didn't promote those at all, but I mean, there's just the numbers are showing it. I mean, you guys love what we're putting out, and we're humbled and we're grateful, and we want to go with what our brand new motto for season three is, and it's very simple. It's kind of cheesy. You're going to think it's a bit of a ripoff because it kind of is. I'm, you know, completely shameless about it, but we've got one job, and we're gonna make sure we do this one job really well. Okay, here, say it with me if you know what I'm gonna say, folks. Make freedom fun again. That's simple. Let me say again. Make freedom fun again. Because that's what's the point of living if you're not having fun in the process? We've seen how just, you know, what Ryan and I, you know, made up in the basement with a $50 donation from a friend to buy a cheap microphone and almost no following because I was just an annoying little blogger, we've seen what we've been able to do. And it's because ultimately we want to put out something that we want to have fun doing. But we also know that if you guys aren't having fun in the process, you're not coming back. And, you know, I like to say that things overall, like I know everyone makes it look like on the news that we're about to all go to hell. But overall, like I kind of like the way that things are going. You might disagree with me, you might agree with me, but I kind of want to start off the show with kind of a state of liberty. You know, think of it as the Remso Republic State of the Union. But I'd be doing all of you a disservice if I didn't go ahead and introduce our guest, who will be joining me of the State of Liberty right now as we enter season three. If you've been hanging on for a while, you know that this is probably something you've seen coming for a while. He's been with us since the very, very beginning, and he's here to kind of, you know, touch bases and see where we're going ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Lions of Liberty podcast, the one, the only, he's the Jew that runs the zoo, Mark Clare. Mark, welcome to the program, man. It's like, you know, it's like you basically, you know, you're essentially part of Team Republic at this point. It would not be a season premiere if you were not part of it.
As long as my official title for Team Republic can be the Jew that runs the zoo, then I'll do whatever you want.
Well, duh.
that title was actually imbued upon me by the mysterious Rika, who is a often contributor to the Lions of Liberty podcast. So that's a little Easter egg for longtime listeners of my show.
Exactly.
Which Remso is one of.
Since 2014, man. And it's just, you know, it's remarkable. I'm, you know, it's been such a fun year.
Was that a pun? Was that meant as a pun? Remarkable?
A little bit.
It is now.
I'm in a joyous mood. I'm going to throw out all the puns and Easter eggs I can. But I mean, it just shows one thing. If we're not having fun, if we're not creating the content that we're having fun with, it's not worth doing. But in terms of, you know, jumping around in the realm of politics, especially when, you know, you're trying to make libertarianism sound fun, as we look at the world around us, it's, you know, we're going to start this off with a simple question and just go from here. Mark, is this a good time for liberty?
It's always a good time for liberty, so of course. But you probably want a more analytical answer than that. So, you know, I don't think that there's ever necessarily a definitive, we're definitely moving in one specific direction or not. Oftentimes what we see on the surface isn't necessarily what's going on in the reality. I do feel that there, just because of, just, I mean, political direction aside, if we simply look at the technology that is available, it's a very good time for the expression of ideas, period, overall. I mean, 5 years ago, even maybe 5 years ago, I could have done it. 10 years ago, I definitely couldn't do what I'm doing right now with my podcast, what you're doing right now with your show, with the Facebook Live stuff you're doing. You simply couldn't reach the people unless you were tied to like a mega corporation until very, very recently. So for that aspect alone, it's a very good time, not just for liberty, but you know, for Marxism, for socialism, for anybody that wants to be out there spreading their ideas. I think overall it's a great time for that. Now, in terms of whether we're actually moving in that direction, yes and no. I mean, if we look at the attitude of Americans and people really the world over when it comes to certain things like the war on drugs, I mean, it's unquestionable that we're in a wonderful time. I mean, we're at a point where we can point to actual countries like Portugal and show their successes in completely decriminalizing drugs. And not that they have a perfect libertarian solution over there, but they're certainly doing things that are a lot closer to a liberty answer than a tyranny answer. And that really is, I think, the pendulum that we're always swinging on back and forth. It's liberty and tyranny, and we're never definitively going in one direction or another. But in terms of the ability for ideas to flourish and a lot of the greater directions things are going in, yeah, I think it's a great time. At the same time, you know, you don't want to get too complacent. Sometimes it feels good when you got someone like President Trump, who certainly is not a libertarian, certainly has many awful policies. I mean, I frankly hate everything about his foreign policy when it comes to a lot of the militarism that he's doing in the Middle East that nobody on the left is talking about. They're upset about Russia conspiracies, but not about, you know, bombing Iraq with white phosphorus or anything that, you know, any of the awful anti-humanitarian things that are going on. But I think we can get a little too complacent when we simply see the left being destroyed or destroying itself. And trust me, I take a lot of joy in seeing a lot of the breakdowns and the hysteria. It can be entertaining. At the same time, let's not act like the destruction of the left, if they are self-destructing, means liberty. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means we still have to fight for liberty against the populist wave of Trumpism, against everything that is against the forces that are fighting leftism aren't always liberty forces, if you know what I mean. So exactly. while we should celebrate, the left kind of taking a hit, we can't just call that, we can't put up a flag and declare victory.
Exactly. And that's been probably that was the hardest thing about season three, because it was, you know, I think like every talk show host, they just went with, okay, now we've got a Republican in office. I'm talking like, you know, conservative radio talk. You know, we've got a Republican in office. Now let's just go on the offense. Let's go attack, you know, liberals on college campuses. Let's go attack the fake stream media. And then you've got some people that are just, you know, anti-Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump. And, you know, when I look back at, you know, my progression alone, I mean, last year, you know, I was a very adamant anti-Trumper, still didn't vote for Trump. And now it seems that, you know, a lot of the anti-Trumpers, they were always just, you know, anti-Republican or just anti anything that's pushing in what seems to be a, quote, liberty direction. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of people who I was on the Never Trump train with, who, you know, they were opposing Neil Gorsuch. They were opposing, you know, Scott Pruitt and Rick Perry and Ben Carson for, you know, all those cabinet positions. They were opposing, you know, any attempt to put any sanity in, any attempt to actually do things that were going to be good for the country. I even see people that were never Trump conservatives that were going after Trump, you know, even talking about privatizing air traffic control. But I mean, that's the problem. I had to ask myself that. Am I anti-Trump or am I pro-liberty? Because I've taken a lot of smack from people because I've said a lot of positive things about Trump. And they're like, oh, now you're just, you know, you're wearing the MAGA hat and you're just going to all the Trump stuff. It's like, you know, support him where you can, call him out when you can, but it's not good enough just to be anti-Trump. You have to be pro-liberty. And I think that's the problem. A lot of people, they just balkanize themselves. It's like, okay, now we're, you know, I see a lot of libertarians who were pushing for Gary Johnson. Now they're part of that whole idiotic resistance thing. I mean, it's sad in a way, but in another way, it's given me the opportunity where it's like, okay, if I'm pro-liberty, what does that mean at this point?
And that's the thing, Remzo, to be consistently pro-liberty, or, you know, to at least strive to be consistently pro-liberty, over the last, like, let's say 8 years, you would have to have at some point praised something Barack Obama did, because he did some, not a lot, a couple things that were pretty good for Liberty. Not a lot, but and you'd also have to consistently criticize a lot of other things that he did, and you have to do the same with Trump. And the problem is when you become hysterically one or the other, A, nobody takes you seriously outside of just complete extreme ideologues, but B, I mean, you're not accomplishing anything. You're just, you're devolving into a partisan hack, into something that a lot of us became libertarians because of. You know, Ron Paul helped us see through the left-right paradigm, see it for the fraud that it is. So you can't fall back into that, even if it's a different paradigm, even if it's the pro-Trump, anti-Trump paradigm, it's still a paradigm, and it stops you from seeing things clearly and from looking at things issue by issue. And if you hate President Trump's personality, like, you need to separate that for a minute and just look at what he does or doesn't do. Criticize him all day long, please. There's so much he should be criticized on. The problem is the left isn't criticizing any of it. And that's what's really the saddest thing, because, you know, when President Trump was elected, we saw a lot of memes from a lot of libertarians saying, hey, we'd like to welcome back the anti-war left, because that's what I thought. I thought, well, of course, now the left is going to be anti-war again. No, it actually turns out that's the only time they praise him. They only praise him. I mean, Jack Tapper was practically having an orgasm on air describing the airstrikes in Syria. It's the only time that the left seems to get all glossy-eyed for Trump is when he starts to, when they recognize some of the aggressions in his foreign policy. It's really mind-blowing. So not only has the one principled stance that the left used to consistently take completely dissipated, their anti-Trump hysteria is such that there is no criticism left. There's no valid criticism of Donald Trump coming from the left whatsoever, because there is plenty of valid criticism that should be there, but they ignore it. They ignore it entirely so that they can just push, you know, that he is a masochist, a racist, and all the anti-Russia tropes, all of this stuff that is just repeated ad nauseum, while they completely ignore his policies. I mean, almost to the point of absurdity.
Exactly. And Mark, we're going to go ahead and keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We're continuing with the State of Liberty right after this.
Let's make freedom fun again. Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
The Voluntarist is a tale of a superhuman hero who finds himself pitted against the state as they try and enslave the world once and for all. He's a young man with extraordinary powers created by a chance encounter with cosmic radiation, and his personal mission is to rescue his parents from the state as they try and take over everything, life, liberty, and property, as the world cowers in fear. You can learn more about this series today at volcomic.com. That's volcomic.com.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. I kind of want to change topics from earlier to kind of just go with the general vibe we're going with. But, you know, we've spoken about the great opportunity we have. Things are going, and, you know, you could debate the pace that they're going, but overall things are going in a quote better direction. Something I've been really able to profit from the past couple months, Mark, is the fact that no one loves the fake stream media anymore. No one likes to even come up with excuses for them anymore. I mean, they've lost all credibility. So that's good for guys like us. I mean, I'm not complaining at all. I am loving this. But, you know, there was something that kind of hit me a couple months ago. And for those of you that, you know, do watch Fox News, there was only one show I ever really was consistent with. And believe it or not, it wasn't even Stossel of John Stossel. It was Red Eye with Tom Shalhoub. And prior to that, it was Greg Gutfeld. Because even though Red Eye was, up at 3 to 4 a.m. in the morning, it wasn't an explicitly libertarian show, but had two very libertarian hosts. They always brought up guys like Dave Smith, Kristen Tate, John Stossel. They had a whole bunch of libertarians that couldn't get on the other network shows. It was a show that talked about politics with, you know, the fact that we can't take it too seriously. And it wasn't the fact that they were, you know, just not taking certain things seriously, but they were trying to have fun in the process. It's not like we forget when something should be taken seriously, but we don't know how to laugh anymore. Everyone takes offense to everything. Everyone needs to be super serious about everything. And when Red Eye got canceled, it kind of broke my heart. One, as a fan, but two, it was like there was the one show that I always wanted to strive to kind of be like, and it's gone. And now it's like, okay, what does that leave me with? Because I don't want to become a watered-down Red Eye. I don't want
the issue with more of a niche to fill.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But, I mean, it left me with this. Who else is making Liberty fun? Everyone is doing it in their own way, but now this just means the stakes are higher, and we're either going to take that opportunity and make it fun again, or we're going to mess it up. So, Mark,
it's funny you say all this. I hate to interrupt your question, but it's funny you say this because we've internally been talking about you starting to use that actual phrase, make liberty fun again. And now you're using make freedom fun again.
I coined it. Okay. I own it.
you got make freedom fun. We've got make liberty fun. But the point is, you know, we all have the same idea here, is that, you know, the stuffiness of political conversation has just got to go. And look, there's a lot of shows like Tom Woods does a pretty serious show. Jason does a pretty serious show. But they also do have fun, I mean, in their own way.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all, no matter what level of seriousness, of that seriousness slash fun balance we take, we need to make everything fun, and we need to have fun doing it, because if we have fun doing it, well, that's going to be reflected in what we're putting out there. And that's how you're going to win people over. You're not going to win people over right away with a brilliant policy position. You're going to win them over by having them like you and realize you're someone to listen to in general. And then from that point is where the ideas can sort of take shape.
Here's the one problem that I've been facing, though. A lot of people, you know, libertarians, we don't have a very positive stereotype. We're either the crazy guys or the guys that strip at conventions or the guys that don't know where certain places on the map are. And for the most part, I have a lot of libertarian friends, but a lot of the libertarians that I do personally know, for the most part, they try so hard to let everyone around them know they're a libertarian. They're like vegans and CrossFitters. How do you know who they are? They'll tell you, I'm a vegan, I'm a CrossFitter, I'm a libertarian. Do you think we have a negative, boring, stiff, somewhat antisocial stereotype?
Oh, boy. It's hard to say what the stereotypes of libertarians are. Because especially for me out here in California, we're kind of an enigma to most people. Most people don't really know what a libertarian is. They have ideas in their mind about what a libertarian is, and they may have gotten those ideas from various places. One of them might be Gary Johnson. I mean, to this day, I still hear jokes at work from people about Aleppo, and I don't even know if that's a bad thing, because at least they recognize now that
they're talking
about
it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, maybe it wasn't the best thing for his individual perception, but that Aleppo running joke, I mean, I actually think it helps the libertarians stay on the map in a way, because that Aleppo joke is still alive. It's alive right now. And that kind of thing. But if you embrace that sort of thing in the right way, it can help. You know, if you can show, and I think Gary sort of tried to do this, but he did it so unspectacular that actually made things worse for him when he tried to embrace the Aleppo joke. So maybe Gary shouldn't do it, but I think others of us can. But it's not only that, it's really just embracing the, I don't want to say unseriousness of the world in politics, because this stuff is serious. These are life and death, quite literally life and death issues that we're talking about. But if you come at things from the doom and gloom perspective, I mean, then that is going to be the stereotype. I mean, I think one stereotype out there is that the libertarians are the ones that are always talking about the economy crashing and apocalypse and preparing. And these are all things that are possible and all things we should promote, preparing, financially preparing, having food on hand, having water on hand, all good ideas. But if that's all you're harping on 24/7 a day and you're seen as the doom and gloom guys, who the hell wants to hang out with those guys? Not me. I mean, I want to face reality, but I don't want to live in a world where I'm constantly waiting for the apocalypse. That's just not a fun place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. It's the fact that I think for a lot of libertarians, because they are treated, you know, I mean, they're like everyone's awkward albino redheaded stepchild. I think when they do finally get a voice or they do finally get an opportunity to give their opinion in front of an audience, they typically go for everything at once. It's like going on a first date with someone and, you know, it's like you look them in the eye and you're like, wow, you know, this is really going well. Did I mention I have crabs and I'm bankrupt and I still live at home and I don't have a car and I have a crime record? Oh, and I'm also an alcoholic.
And that's a good point, because if now look, that person, that this hypothetical person you're describing on the date could very well be a wonderful person worth being in a relationship with. But if you lead with all of that crap, the person on the other end of that table is probably not even going to get to find that out. So it doesn't mean you need to, you know, forget about all that stuff, but it does mean you need to maybe make the initial conversation a little bit different. It does mean you need to approach things in a different way. You know, maybe on that first date, he should not say any of that and just have a good time, show you're a fun person. And maybe as they go, they learn about some of the stuff and maybe they're learning about it in a more positive way. They're learning about how your time as an alcoholic actually made you a stronger person. They're learning about how your time as a felon actually made you a stronger person. But if they only learn that stuff, you know, they're not going to learn that stuff if you lead with it all. You know what I mean? If you lead with the warts, then they're only going to see the warts.
Very true. Very true.
I guess that's almost a literal pun since you mentioned that.
I don't have a car, but my calves are just absolutely ripped. Folks, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But first, we're going to hit our final commercial break. Hang on tight. The conversation continues. We'll be back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? What happened? I don't know. God.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's Preuss Podcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Comments is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at
what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Are you looking for a podcast that represents life, liberty, and free movement of ideas? Well, look no further. The Classical Liberal Podcast is here for free speech and the latest in American politics. Come tune in for Liberty with Alex Shaw at theclassicalliberal.weebly.com. That's classicalliberal.weebly.com. All right, everyone, welcome back. We got to the final commercial break a little bit early because I want to give a little bit more extra time to talk to Mark, but
way of saying I'm long-winded. I get it.
Oh no, it's all good. This is a season premiere. Be as long-winded as you want. I know I am. We'll probably throw in some music here and there just to keep the runtime going, because I know a lot of you guys
of wind in these lungs.
You know what's crazy? The biggest audience that I think a lot of podcasters have are people that commute. So I forgot who I was talking to, but I was conducting an introduction to podcasting workshop, and somebody told me, my child, who I drive to school in the morning, she recognizes three voices in the morning: me, her mother, and you. So it's always funny. So I give people a little extra minute here and there. Yeah, we're doing them a favor, probably. Here's the thing. And I know we've been talking about just this one thing. My goal: make freedom fun again. I had this one guy. He started a podcast a while ago. In fact, I think I brought it up when he was back at the season two premiere. I told everyone I was going to bring it up. Not going to do it anymore. Times change. But it's funny because I'm going this route and we're talking and I'm trying to help him get set up because I want to see people succeed. And he's just like, everyone just thinks you're a smartass and a jokester and you don't take things seriously and you use vulgar language and you're just, being a freaking firebrand and all this other stuff. If we want to be taken seriously, we need to have serious conversations and we need to talk about serious topics, because we're already a joke by you becoming that joke. We're just going to be a joke even more and you're not helping things out. And that kind of hit me, because it's like, I've been doing a lot behind the scenes that you've never done. Yeah. I was knocking doors and, going to events and getting signatures and lobbying before you even knew what a Gary Johnson was in 2016, newborn libertarian guy. But it's funny. And to his point, I understand a lot of people, they're like, we have to be super serious about this. But at the same time, my biggest thing is this, and you touched on it earlier, no one's going to want to talk to us. No one's going to want to hang out with us if we're not having a good time. So do you think we need another Red Eye where it's just absolutely satire, or do you think we need something kind of like where we're going, where you balance things out, or do we need to just be another Cato podcast, which is 15 minutes of "and welcome to our discussion today," and it's just boring as hell? I mean, is there a healthy medium for all of those, or should we be pushing in one idea specifically?
Yeah, I want to hear 10 minutes of Remzo calmly reading a policy treatise.
Today in the Wall Street Journal. I actually literally thought about reading articles from the Wall Street Journal to people. And I thought about that. I'm like, yeah, that'll be good. That'll be something I could put out like on a Tuesday. And then I woke up and I was like, that's a freaking stupid idea.
Here's the thing. There's a place for everything. There's certain people that maybe they should be pointed to the Cato podcast for policy issues, and that's the kind of thing they're gonna like. But who are we trying to talk to? You and me. Are we trying to talk to, we're not developing a platform to deliver to the same people that are currently, have been watching mainstream news for the last 30 or 40 years, because those people probably aren't going to drastically change their consumption habits. Who we're really talking to are people that either grew up with some of that in their household and hated it because their parents watched it and are just sick of it and sick of the BS, or people that really weren't even interested in this stuff at all and are finally hearing some voices that are more like them, that are more like real human beings and not just talking heads calmly reading their policy paper out to everybody so that they fully understand the intricacies of the idea. Look, it's important to understand the intricacies of ideas, but when like, I think there's different roles for everybody. And I think the role for, you know, podcasts like ours is to really interest people in the ideas of liberty. If you really want to get into the nitty gritty of some policy things, well, I do bring on a lot of guests that do that, first of all. But second of all, you know, those are out there. The papers exist. Cato exists. All of the books over the years by Mises, Hazlitt, you know, this stuff is Hayek. All of that stuff exists. So we don't need to redo it. It's already there. And if people want that, they can be pointed to it. There are plenty of platforms for the more dry delivery. But to me, that's not what interests me. That's not the kind of podcast I want to listen to. You know, when I started this podcast, when I started Lions of Liberty, I started it because I wanted to hear interviews with people in the liberty movement, and I couldn't find them. I literally couldn't find them. I mean, now Tom Woods is out there, so that might sound ridiculous. I started my show actually, I think, just a couple weeks before Tom did. Obviously, he's taken off, and he's Tom Woods, and he grew that thing a lot faster than I've been able to. But when I was starting my podcast, there was no place to find that. I looked. I could not find the show that I wanted to hear. So I had to create it. I had no other option. I guess I got to complain about it or create what I wanted to hear. So that's what I went out and did. And I think that's, you know, that's the kind of thing that we have the ability to do in our current age, and why it's such a great time to not just be a libertarian, but be anybody who wants to promote something, whether it's charity or your business. It doesn't matter. You know, we live in a wonderful time to be able to communicate and deliver our message to people, whatever that message is.
Exactly. And you know who the Fabians are, right?
The Fabian socialists?
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. I mean, what was their biggest thing?
You're gonna stump me here.
this is the poli-sci guy coming at me. But their biggest thing was, let's infiltrate everything and just totally hijack the existing institutions and use the power of the state to eventually get people to willingly want our policies. And I don't know if you saw, Mark.
That kind of worked.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we see it in the Republican and the Democratic Party. For the most part, the Fabians, they beat out the Marxists. You know, the Soviet Union fell, yet Bernie Sanders is somehow a viable option for how to govern society. And, you know, I don't know if you saw, Mark, but, you know, a while back, we launched a health and lifestyle section. Now we have, for our Patreon members, we're doing a Patreon-exclusive series called Haunted Republic. And we do comic book reviews, and we have a guy who's going to start blogging and doing liquor reviews that have nothing to do with any of, you know, with anything political. And I have people talking to me. They're like, well, what are you trying to do? And it's like, what are you trying to do with this blog about, you know, how to lose weight with the smoothie, Remso, or how that essential oil will help you calm down, Remso? What's your libertarian angle? And here's the thing. My angle is, I want you to read the article, and if you're reading something about a good, healthy smoothie, I want you to use that recipe. And then they're like, well, what does that have to do with growing the message? It's, you know, maybe if you read that article on the smoothie recipe, or you're really into ghosts and you watch an episode of Haunted Republic on Patreon or something like that, maybe you'll go back and listen to the episode where Mark and I were talking about how to make freedom fun again. Maybe you'll listen to the episode of Jordan Stein from Gun Owners of America, and you'll rethink your gun stance. Maybe you'll become a libertarian because first you wanted the smoothie recipe.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all about bringing people into this conversation. I think that's the important role that people in our position can have. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And the way to do it isn't necessarily by just hammering on the same exact libertarian topics over and over and over and over. And that's why I try to bring people in from different walks of life that are doing different things. I mean, and there's so many people out there doing it. There's people, you know, our friend Johnny Adams is out there making the Liberty Force comic. You got Eric July with Backwards. You got people doing stuff in so many different realms, and that's what we have to do. And they're doing that for a reason. I mean, you could say, why are you rapping, Eric July? That's not liberty, but you know, he touches on a lot of liberty themes. But not only that, even if someone just likes Backwards and you know, isn't really interested, isn't thinking about their songs politically, I don't know, you're still going to end up on Eric July's fan page, and suddenly you're going to see some libertarian stuff. So there's a lot of ways to bring people into your ideas, and they're not always by just saying the same ideas over and over.
Exactly. Mark, we've got to wrap up the show, but just, you know, one last question. For people that are trying to break into, you know, entertainment media, they're trying to do that explicitly to promote the message of liberty. What's the biggest thing you think they should avoid doing? Like the biggest mistake you often see? Because I see people that spend thousands of dollars and they read all the books and they try and do all the obvious things, but then they start and they, you know, they just completely flounder and flail and they're done before they knew it. What's the biggest thing you wish people could avoid?
Well, I would try to emphasize avoiding, you know, thinking that you're going to solve the world in a week. You know, you're not going to get what you want. You're not going to produce whatever product you want or craft whatever message you want overnight. And you're going to experience a lot of frustration, not only right away, but the entire time. There's not a week where I don't end up frustrated over something podcast related, even if it's just logging in and seeing numbers that are a little lower than I wanted them to be. And then I get annoyed by that for a few minutes and then I move on. Because that's going to happen because things are going to ebb and flow and you're going to run into pitfalls. And I think the biggest thing people do is they're not ready for that. And they kind of assume everything is going to go smoothly. And the second they don't, a lot of people bail. And that's why the average podcast, I think, lasts no longer than 7 episodes. And that's not because podcasting is impossible or really, really hard. But it does take consistency and it does take persistence. And there's going to be, you're going to need those qualities because you're going to run into a lot of pitfalls along the way. You're going to run into a lot of frustrations and you're not going to see the payoff right away. Frankly, years and years later, you don't always see the payoff. It really takes a lot of time to build up that audience and to craft what you're doing, to make what you're doing better. My God, we just put out our 300th episode. And if you listen to episode 300 and episode 1, they may as well be different shows. I mean, that does not sound like me in episode 1. The audio quality sucks. I barely know what I'm doing. I'm all over the place. The editing is terrible. I mean, it's a totally different thing. But I never could have had episode 300 if I didn't have episode 1. So if you decide you want to do something, whether it's a podcast, whether it's video, whether it's just crafting your personal message and talking to people differently, all of these things are going to have pitfalls along the way. They're all going to be frustrating. You just got to embrace that. You got to embrace the frustration, embrace the pitfalls as part of the learning process because you need those. You need those to be stronger. You need those, you know, I wish I could think of a good superhero analogy, but you know, it's like a superhero who they gain their power by absorbing blows and every punch they take. I'm sure there's a superhero out there that I'm not thinking of that actually has this quality, but if they don't, then I'm making it up right now. But the more hits they take and the more power they absorb, the stronger you can project later on. So take your hits, embrace your hits, welcome them but don't let them destroy you and be ready for this pitfall because it's going to occur. You're going to be frustrated and you got to just love the whole process.
Absolutely. And hey, that's how you make freedom fun again. Copyright exactly. 2017.
That's how you make liberty fun again. Copyright finds liberty.
Mark, for those that do not tune in, I don't know why they wouldn't, but for those that want to check out the Lions of Liberty, Electric Liberty Land and Felony Fridays of John Odermatt, how could they do so?
For all you crazy cats that are not currently listening to Lions of Liberty, and as Remzo mentioned, we have several shows per week. You know, I started the podcast 3 years ago with the support of some friends of mine, John Odermatt, Brian McWilliams, most notably. And those two have gone on to have their own spinoff shows on our podcast feed. So every Wednesday, Brian looks more at culture and current events, comedy, that sort of thing with Electric Liberty Land. And then John Odermatt takes really a hard-hitting look at the criminal justice system. And he's got so many amazing guests. I mean, people that have had their sentences commuted by President Obama, people that were faced that were in jail for life that later got out, lawyers, experts in the field, all sorts of really amazing stories. So really, I highly recommend checking out all our shows. You can, of course, do that by going to our website, lionsofliberty.com. You can, of course, find us on iTunes, on Stitcher. You know how this stuff works. We're everywhere podcasts are. We also have a YouTube channel where all we do right now is really just toss up the audio of those interviews and those the other episodes we do, but hoping to do a little bit more with that down the road. But you know, find us on social media, of course, Lions of Liberty, facebook.com/Lions of Liberty, Twitter @Lions of Liberty. You guys know how the internet works. Follow us everywhere because we're having fun and we're loving liberty.
Outstanding. Mark, this would not have been a season premiere without you. Thank you so much for coming back on, man. It's always a blast.
Peace, Remzo. It's been a good time.
Folks, you heard the whole thing, but it comes down to this: make freedom fun again. And I don't want to, you know, preach or pitch, but I've got one way that you guys can do it while getting rewards in the process. We started our own Patreon support program. It's a rewards program where for $2 a month, and you throw that away in pocket change, just $2 a month, you get exclusive sneak peeks, you get exclusive episodes. We have our satire series where I interviewed, quote, Alex Jones, my friend Nick Buffard, who did an amazing Alex Jones impression. We have our new paranormal series Haunted Republic, where we're gonna go on ghost hunts and we're gonna talk to paranormal experts and we're gonna have a fun time of that, and exclusive discounts and other stuff from our show sponsors. So just $2 a month, I mean, you throw that away in pocket change, you might as well help us fight fake news while making freedom fun again. And while we're at it, you know, by the time you're listening to this, we've got the last episode of Fanboys and Freedom. Show producer Ryan did a great job of putting volume 2 of that together. We have Mark and Alex Merced narrating a couple episodes. And, there's so much more. But definitely don't forget, check us out in everything we do at RemsoRepublic.com. And, folks, let's try and make freedom fun again. As always, a shout out to the Self Defense Radio Network. Check us out on Auto Radio Player FM and all our other awesome partners and affiliates. Be good to your neighbor. Go treat yourself. And let's make freedom fun again, America. I'm Remso W. Martinez with the Remso Republic. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?